And for one more thrust forward for Perth. Thrown in by Davidson. Comes to Kilkenny. To Davidson, tried to flick it over the top. O'Neill tried to get in the way. Castro has it. To Kilkenny on the left-hand side. He gets past one. Puts the cross in. Keown tries the bicycle kick. Economides! Unbelievable at the far post! It fell to him and he put it in the back of the net for his second. Oh, stunning! You couldn't believe it. Oh, throw the script out the window. The Glory have got a winner and they've done it in the fifth minute of added time. 3-2, Perth over the Mariners. You wouldn't read about it.
Welcome back to the Far Post Perth podcast. As I mentioned before the break, we're joined by one of we won't big his head up too much just yet. We'll progressively get bigger as we ask him the questions. But it's Perth Glory striker and Socceroos international, Chris Economides. Chris, thanks a million for taking some time to talk to us. How's the head after the trip to Wellington?
Oh, it was a long trip, as everyone knows. But the boys have recovered well, and we're already thinking about City on Saturday.
I think the question on everybody's lips at the moment after the weekend is, how was your first experience of the world's biggest derby game?
Oh, look, I didn't know what to expect, and it's tough. It's 5 hours time difference as well, and just that alone, adjusting your body to the correct time is tough, and getting the right hours sleep and recovery for the games is not easy, but, you know, it's done, and that's the only time we're doing it this year, so relieved it's over.
Yeah, I think we're, as fans, it's always a game. We know that it puts a lot of toll on the players. So to come away with a point, obviously you want to go and win every game, but with the way the game panned out, having been down so early on and then getting an equaliser towards the end, are you satisfied to come back with that result, or do you think you left a bit out there?
Yeah, look, after the first half performance, I think we'll be happy to go away with a draw. They were on top of us in the first half, and I think the way we responded in the second half, as we kept our cool and played our way back into the game, we can be pleased with. And obviously we're happy to keep the unbeaten run after six rounds.
We have to ask you about just your circumstances, because we get told here in Perth quite a lot that nobody wants to come to live here. It's too far away. There's nothing to do. It's boring. What made you come to Perth? And why we know that you've committed to a 3-year contract. It's a big leap of faith, both from yourself and the club. What were the factors you took into consideration with that?
The fact is, well, obviously the footballing decision was the main one, apart from it being a beautiful city and everything like that. But it was just the kind of buzz that was around the club. It was the signings they'd made. It was the coach. It was everything about it. I think it wasn't just one particular thing. It was a bunch of things that came together and for me just stood out as the right club to go to.
It wasn't the opportunity to hang out outside the bell tower and that sort of thing on a...
That as well, to see the beautiful beaches in Perth.
A little charm like that. As you say, it's a lot to do with the football, and we've noticed that as well in terms of the players speaking about pre-season and obviously the signings coming in. We've brought in a lot of international quality players, so the standards improve right across the board. You've got a lot of experience in Europe at such a young age in Europe and a bit in Australia as well and around the international setup. Is this in the sort of environment you feel that you can develop as a player in? Because we do often have questions about players who come back to Australia at a young age and make that decision instead of, you know, trying to pick up a contract somewhere in Europe or somewhere a little bit more obscure. As I said, you've come here for 3 years. You obviously are happy with how this can develop you as a player.
Yeah, 100%. I think you just need to look at the squad of players we've got, and you can only imagine how high the standard of our trainings and games are. So being in that kind of environment will help. Also, working with coaches that have 100% attention to every single detail of my game, even if I think I've had a good game and I've scored 2 goals or whatever, they'll bring me back in on the Monday and run me through the things I need to improve. And that's what I was looking for. And ultimately, at my age, I want to be improving and being the best player I can be. So I think, from what I've seen so far, it's been the best decision I've made.
Yeah, Chris Blade here, mate. You would have heard we ran into your big brother after the game on
yes.
Last week, mate, who seemed to enjoy himself for his 25th birthday. Obviously, it would be good to come back to somewhere that you've got a bit of family close to you.
Yeah, he was very happy with his interview after the game. I think he had a couple of beers, so he didn't really know what he was talking about. But yeah, it's good to be back with family after being overseas for 6-7 years, and you know, it's it also helps you perform on the pitch. I reckon he's just being relaxed and happy in your home life as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, just going back a little bit, obviously you left home quite a bit of an early age, and you went over to Atalanta in Italy there, and then you headed over to Lazio. We're talking about the distance derby. Tell us a bit through, you know, your experiences when you go up to get Lazio against Roma and those kind of games.
Yeah, it was unreal. You know, being a young boy from Sydney, growing up in a culture that's not always football dominated, is it's unreal to experience that culture over there where football is life, and to be a part of it and to play in the derbies there and to come through the youth system at such a prestigious club. You know, I think that adds years of experience on my resume, which you can only go from going and doing an experience like that.
Were there any players or even coaches over there that maybe made you stop and think, wow, I'm actually, you know, playing against them or alongside them? Was there anyone that, you know, that you kind of figured you could learn a lot from in that environment?
Yeah, 100%. I think one of the biggest moments for me was when I was walking out the tunnel for my debut for Lazio, and I was a freshly faced 20-year-old or 19-year-old, I can't remember, and I was walking alongside Miroslav Klose, the striker, and just seeing the stadium and seeing him just, you know, comforting me on the pitch was a really unreal experience. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, that's not a bad player to have holding your hand on the way out the tunnel, Miroslav Klose.
Yeah, of course.
No, that's great. And just talking about your form this season, you've got 4 goals, 2 assists. It's a really good return, but like any striker, I'm sure you're hungry for more.
Of course, you know, it's only been 6 games. I've only had 5 starts so far, and you know, we're just getting started. I want to get in the thick of it for the rest of the season. So hopefully, there's many more nice moments to come.
You're playing up front with an international player, in Andy Keogh. Does having players like him and other experienced players like Castro around help the dynamic of the squad when there's so many new players coming in and you're trying to settle into a team, because there's been a lot of changes in the off season, but a few of those guys have been around, Shane Lowry as well. It's important to have a spine of a team there to help you guys get into the groove.
Yeah, 100%. You know, they're the core of the team. They help everyone settle in. They help everyone keep their head in, even when it's you know, high pressure situations. So, you know, I think everyone uses their experience that they've had in their years of career, and it benefits the team ultimately on match day.
How have you made out the standard of the competition at the moment? Obviously, you were here a little bit with Western Sydney last year, but do you think that the you've come back, so you've put your faith in it to develop you, and it's a big commitment from yourself, but do you think that the competition is developing at an adequate rate?
Yeah, I believe so. I think it's improving. Even on last year, it's improved from what I've seen. There's been some good players coming in from overseas, some good marquee players, as we've seen, like Honda and stuff like that. So, you know, hopefully it'll keep improving, and I can improve with it.
The big question we have to ask you is, coming up to January, and there's the talk of Socceroos selections and the Asian Cup, and you've got a little bit of a taste of international football, and every player in your position, I'm sure, wants more. Is that a focus at the back of your mind when you're training or when you're going out onto the park, that absolutely you want to do everything for Perth Glory and win games, but that might propel you into consideration again?
To be completely honest, it is a dream of every player to play for his country, and I'm obviously hungry to get back in the Socceroos setup, but it doesn't really cross my mind in trainings and in games and stuff like that. You know, my main focus is my club career at the moment and doing well with them. And then obviously, if that's good, then you reap the benefits of the national team as well. So my main focus is obviously Perth Glory, and what will happen will happen in good time.
Chris, a lot of people are talking about Popper's style of coaching and the way he's on the training pitch and just in training in general. What's it like working under someone like Popper?
No, it's fantastic. You know, that was probably the biggest factor of me coming to Perth. And it was it's something that I enjoy, having someone so with such great attention to detail and someone who keeps you on your toes in every single session of every single day. So, you know, I'm really enjoying it so far. I'm enjoying my football, which is good. You know, every footballer wants to enjoy it. And the coaching staff has been excellent so far with helping me settle in and giving me all the tools I need to perform on the pitch.
Yeah, Chris, I was lucky enough to be at the Melbourne Victory game where you scored that late winner, and then, of course, at Central Coast. But what I've noticed, mate, is you need to do a bit of work on that celebration. You seem to be a little bit not sure about what you want to do with yourself. Is there any thoughts into what you might come up with?
Yeah, look, you're not the first person who's told me that, but I'm coming up with some good celebrations, and hopefully you guys will see them soon. So I won't tell you what it's going to be.
A big stage dive into the shed would always be appreciated, mate, let me tell you.
Maybe. We'll see. Depends if everyone throws beer on me or not.
we won't keep you too much longer. Just got a quick one for you. Fans are always curious about what goes on behind closed doors, and you've come into a new environment with a load of new teammates. Can you tell us something a little bit quirky or a bad habit you've noticed around the change room from any of your teammates? It's an opportunity to out somebody here and get the fans on their back and maybe deflect from yourself, take some heat off yourself if you need it in the future. We can always point to that.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a big fines culture. So every little thing you do, you get a fine, and it's not a malicious fine. It goes towards an end of season trip or restaurants for the team dinners out. But there's a few stitch ups there with people dobbing each other in. For example, you get a fine if your photo's in the paper or if you leave dirty socks on your spot in the change room. So there's a few dobbers in the team, but I'm not going to say who they are. But Dino is a big culprit sometimes. But
so what's the fine for being on this sensational podcast, mate?
Sorry?
What's the fine for being on this sensational podcast tonight?
There's no fine for this one, thankfully. Otherwise, I wouldn't have taken it.
Well, of course, we really do appreciate your time and having a chat with us. It's fantastic to have you in Perth scoring goals. I'm sure you can see the buzz around the city yourself. When Glory are winning, people are happy, and hopefully the crowds keep on building at NIB Stadium, because we know we're onto a good thing with yourself and some of the other players that have come in. So we're looking forward to sitting on top of the ladder for a good while yet. So look, thanks a million for your time, and best luck for the season. Hopefully we'll talk to you
throughout. Thank you very much. Thanks for the support, guys.